Come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week, we are talking about my pick of the month. And I decided to choose our first ever war movie on this podcast.
Yeah.
This was a first time watch for me. Why? I don't fucking know.
I don't either.
But I chose 1917 from the year 2019.
Yeah.
Lots of numbers in this one.
Kind of confusing, you know.
Every time I was typing my notes, I kept wanting to put 1918. I don't know why. But yeah, first war movie. I'm not really sure why I picked this one. I think just because I haven't seen it and I know that it's very highly regarded. Like I mentioned at the end of our last episode, our buddy Alan watched this like 4 times in 4 days. And
yeah.
So I decided to give it a shot.
And all the other like really, really good war movies are like three and a half hours long, you know?
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised that this one was only 2 hours. It was just perfect. But yeah, before we talk about this movie, we will kick off our box office and news and boom. All right, what are you drinking tonight?
Tonight I'm drinking a Stray Dog Brewing Company, this one, California Common. Don't know what kind of beer it is, but it's a beverage.
You think it's going to taste burnt?
Too soon. It took me a minute to like realize what you're talking about.
I don't know what it tastes like.
Almost like an IPA.
Okay.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking water.
Like 3 episodes in a row.
I know, man. I am being vigilant. We're doing a weight loss challenge at work, and I'm down 12 pounds. So I want to keep in the right path.
This is like kind of like The Office. You know, we got like the warehouse guys and then like your team.
No, it's just, I think there's 11 of us, and we just do a weekly weigh-in. And at the end of, the last weigh-in's the first Monday of March.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes by percentage base because everybody's different weights. So it's harder and easier to lose weight at different weights. So far I'm in the lead.
Woo-hoo!
So I want to keep that going. We all pitch $20. So the winner gets $220. So,
shit, man.
Yeah. I'm hoping, fingers crossed. That's why I'm drinking all this water.
All right, man. Well, good luck.
Thank you. Fucking sucks, but thank you. I miss my beer and whiskey.
Yeah.
All right. What have you been watching this week?
I don't even know. Is there anything even? What was the last thing that we? Oh, Wormwood. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Hold on. One second. yeah. So I watched Heretic, whatever you want to call it, from last year. As you can see, 1.5 stars. I did not enjoy this movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm in the minority because everyone seemed to really like it. I just thought it was extremely boring. And the second half just kind of... I thought I was getting this like wild house that has all these like kind of like traps and different paths, and they have to find their way through, and like he's helping them but like not helping them, and then it just kind of turned into kind of movie similar.
The synopsis is kind of misleading because it does mention like a cat and mouse game, so
yeah,
you do kind of have that implication that it is going to be like what you thought, but
yeah,
I fucking love that movie though.
Yeah. And I just feel like, with the success of 2023 Justin Long movie,
Barbarian,
I've watched it like fucking 6 times. Can't remember the fucking name. I just feel like there's been a few movies that have came out since then, maybe not intentional, but kind of have the same vibes. You know, I don't know. I threw on Bad Moms randomly, and then I was at my dad's in on Saturday, and he threw on Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 1. It's 3 hours long, so it was quite the watch. It was pretty good. Yeah, I just thought it was like all right. Chapter 2, I don't know when it comes out, even though it says 2024, but I don't think it's out yet. But yeah. Then we watched the This Is the Tom Green documentary on Sunday. Really liked it. Maybe kind of biased, I guess. You know, he is from where I currently reside or work in Ottawa, and like I was always a fan of his. Like I'll watch a couple episodes of the Tom Green Show, but wasn't really. I was kind of maybe too young or not into that. Like wasn't really allowed to watch maybe that those kind of shows. But Freddie Got Fingered for sure was like when I really got introduced to him and loved him, and just to see how much he actually like paved the way for comedians and media and everything is fucking insane. Like, it's wild.
He brought a very different type of comedy to the table.
Like, I didn't even know, but in one episode of Tom Green Show, he brought like fucking Monica Lewinsky to Vanier, Ontario.
Oh,
It's like,
really?
yeah. Like, what? Crazy. And then, well, I'll save this last one for whenever we get to yours.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I should stop sharing my screen.
Your mouse cursor fucked me up. I was like,
That
"There's
happens
nothing."
to me sometimes too.
right. I watched quite a bit actually, which is rare. I watched Gone in 60 Seconds. I'm
Nice.
just browsing through Prime and I saw it on there and I was like, fuck yeah. Maybe it's Tubi, I can't remember. This Joker's Wild movie. It's a short film, it's like 15 minutes, I think. But I saw a couple guys that I follow on TikTok talking about it. And David Howard Thornton plays the Joker.
Okay.
And it's I don't know, he's like sadistic as fuck. It's really good though. Like I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It's on YouTube, you can watch the whole thing on there.
Okay.
And then I watched Asriel, which I've seen a few people talk about. It was okay. It wasn't anything special, but randomly threw on Clerks 2.
Nice.
And
I haven't seen that in a long time.
man, I had the best time with it. It's so funny.
It is,
I
yeah.
love it. I watched A Different Man, which came out last
Nice.
year. It was good, but it was, I don't know, man. It lost me. Like, it was fucking weird.
Yeah, but I think I felt the same way.
Yeah. Like Sebastian Stan was great. He's always great, but I don't know. It was different. I finally finished Y2K. I started this like 3 weeks ago and I forgot about it. And I was like, oh yeah, fuck, I gotta finish this. If you grew up in the 90s, if you remember the 90s, this movie is fucking wicked for 90s nostalgia. There's just so many callbacks to the late 90s in this movie, and it's amazing. Overall, not a super great movie, but it's a fun watch, and there's an awesome cameo at the end of it, and I was all for it.
Nice.
And I finished Treasure Island last night, which adds to my Disney watches.
Nice.
It's not great. I wasn't a fan of it.
Oh,
And lastly, you texted me last night and put me on a homework assignment to watch The Great Train Robbery from 1903.
yeah.
This movie came out before the movie that we're talking about even took place.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy. Why did you want me to watch this movie?
I just like looking to see like the next pick I could like pick, and just like I never like thought of like, 'cause like you know is we know like what is considered to be like the first like horror movie, and there's like you know five or six different movies that could be considered it, right? And then
Yeah.
like looked up, it was like the first action movie, and I was like, 'cause like I know it was like Buster Keaton and like you know Charlie Chaplin and those like kind of that would be like action, but. But everyone kept saying, "Oh, the Great Train Robbery, Great Train Robbery from 1903," and I was like, "I didn't even know they fucking made movies in 1903. Like, I knew that like one of them was like 1905 or 1910, but it's like, Holy. So it's only like 10 minutes long. So I was like, let's just both watch it and just kind of, I don't know, give like our takes on it. Like, it's insane to me that like 122 years ago, they made this movie. And if someone, if I watch this and someone had me guess when this was made, like, I wouldn't have said early 1900s, like maybe like 1915, you know, something
Yeah,
like
I would have
that.
said like 1920.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the music in this was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was really good.
Though like some of the stuff, like obviously, you know, the gunshots, like you can see they, I don't know how they did it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's neat how movies back then were able to tell a story without any script. You knew exactly what was going on in this movie, but there was zero dialogue, no talking.
Not even any like words on the screen that sometimes they do.
Yeah, no, there was nothing. But I don't know, it looked really cool. Like I liked it, almost had like a sepia overtone to it. And like you had the constant flickering of like a film reel, I guess. And it just, I don't know, it looked really cool. It added to, like, obviously, that's the only way that they were able to record video back then, but given the subject content of it, it really added to that subject content, I found.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's something I was going to say, but I don't remember now what it was. Oh, you mentioned in your review, I remember now. You mentioned in your review, like, I wonder what, like, people 122 years in the future are going to think about the movies that get made in this day and age. And I think that's a really fucking good question.
It's like, will movies even be a thing in 122 years? Like,
They might have thought
you
that back
know?
then too, though, right? I think I could see us really utilizing VR at that point, and like you're going to be in the fucking movie. Like I could see it being like Ready Player One type shit. Like you fucking get right in there.
Kind of like was that Henry movie?
Yeah, Hardcore Henry.
Parker Henry,
Yeah. That's a really interesting question though. Because it would be neat to see. And like visually and like audio wise, our movies now like are so good. Like, how can you even improve on this? Like, what's it gonna look like at that point in time? Like, we have
Exactly.
8K at this point now.
Which is, yeah, like barely kind of common, right? So,
Maybe we'll develop some sort of like live forever serum and we'll be able to find out what it's gonna be like in 122 years.
Or that the fucking the one guy who wants to live forever.
Yeah.
Don't know if you've seen, I forget what his name is, but
Fucking do us like Walt Disney, put us in a cryo chamber and wake us up in 125 years. All right. Let's get talking about this movie.
Alrighty.
Oh, was there any 4Ks?
Yeah, I guess so. We'll talk about the 4K. All right, so we got Wicked, Blade on 4K, Steelbook, pretty sick. The Shining, pretty cool Steelbook. We got two spaghetti Western classics, Kill Them All and Come Back Alone, and The Hellbenders. We got Andrei Tarkovsky's The Sacrifice and Sick.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's it.
That's a good movie. I liked it.
I still haven't seen
You watch the trailer for Megan 2.0 yet?
I did not. I didn't even know that the trailer came out.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but I watched some videos of people talking about it. It's an interesting plot. Did you watch the first one?
Yeah, I watched it in theaters.
I'm only asking because on the cover of the Sick 4K, it said from the creators of Megan.
Okay.
But jog my memory. Anyways, not a bad week for 4K. All right, now let's talk about this movie.
All right.
All right, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about 1917 from the year 2019. Starting off with the synopsis. On April 6, 1917, an infantry battalion assembles to wage war deep in enemy territory. Two soldiers are assigned to race against time and deliver a message that will stop 1,600 men from walking straight into a deadly trap.
Yep.
Crazy. This obviously takes place during World War I. In this movie, we follow two British soldiers who are at the front lines against the German soldiers. This was directed by Sir Sam Mendes.
Yep.
He has directed Empire of Light, Skyfall, Spectre, Revolutionary Road, Jarhead, Road to Perdition, and American Beauty. Got a pretty fucking wicked resume.
He does, yeah. And he's got a lot coming out.
I didn't know he was a sir.
Not me either.
He's not even like labeled that on IMDb.
No.
I only saw it in his like trivia and shit. The leading cast, we have Dean Charles Chapman, who plays Lance Corporal Blake. George MacKay plays Lance Corporal Schofield. Daniel Mays plays Sergeant Sanders. And Colin Firth plays General Aaron Moore.
Yep.
The honorable mentions are bigger names than the fucking the
I
leading
know.
cast. I'll let you do your honorable mentions. I'm sure we have.
Yeah, I mean, you got Andrew Scott, who played Lieutenant Leslie. Mark Strong played Captain Smith. And then I'll let you say the other two.
Benedict Cumberbatch played Colonel Mackenzie for all of fucking a minute and a half, maybe. I don't know what year. I don't know. I had Richard Madden, who played Lieutenant Joseph Blake. Okay. I looked up what he was in last night, but I forgot what it was.
He was in Game of Thrones. He played
Right. Yes.
and so same with Dean Charles Chapman. He played
Tommen.
Joffrey's brother.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah, that's all I have for honorable mentions. But it's like a star-studded cast, but very short-lived. Like they're like cameos. It's crazy.
Yeah, because really the camera only follows, for the most part, spoiler alert, one person throughout the whole movie, right?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into
Let's get into her, bud. So yeah, the
fucking
movie
Shorzy.
starts. Like you said, April 6, 1917. We got our two main characters, Blake and Schofield, just chilling under a tree, which kind of is, I don't know. It's the same scene that shows up at the very end of the movie, so it's kind of, where it begins, it ends, I don't know, kind of thing. So kind of chilling, then they get woken up by one of their generals or whatever, and he's like, "Okay, come with me, I got something for you, Blake." And he's like, pick one guy to come with you or help you or something." Like, okay, I'll bring Schofield. He's like my best friend here, right? So they're going to meet with, I forget who, Sanders maybe, I don't know. But basically they learn that one of the infantries, the Devons, the Germans have retreated from a position that they're at. And the Devons are like, "Oh, this is a perfect chance to attack the Germans and win this little battle they have going on." But Sanders or whoever it is, they did some recon and they figured out that no, yeah, they have retreated, but they have set up a shit ton of artillery and stuff as a trap for this these Devons. So basically there's, like you said, 16,000 troops in this one group, and Blake and Schofield have to bring this letter all the way fucking across this country to tell them not to go across. And Blake's brother is in the Devons.
So that really motivates him to haul ass
Yes.
and accept this mission, I guess we could say.
Yeah, and he also really doesn't really have a choice because he mentions to Schofield, they're talking about like leaving and getting like better food, and then Blake's like, "No, my leave got canceled." And Schofield's like, "Oh, why?" And just like, "I don't know. I didn't ask. I'd rather be here, basically."
Shit like that happened all the time too, right?
Yeah, most likely, yeah. So they are making their way to Lieutenant Leslie, who is at the front line of what was that kind of like the bared wasteland between the trenches? What was that kind of called? No man's land, I guess, but not really like the no man's land.
Yeah. Like it, yeah, like you said, they poke their head up and there's literally nothing in front of
Yeah.
them.
So they're making their way there to the front line to first see if the Germans actually did retreat. And I really love this scene when they get to this first trench and they're trying to find Leslie, and Leslie is like, he just doesn't give a fuck at all. He's,
Yeah.
you know, his troops have been waiting there for like days to try and get relief, and he's just like smoking a cigarette, and he's like, "Hey, tell me what day is it? We've been fucking talking about this for like 3 days trying to figure it out." And then like Schofield's like, "Friday or something like that." And then like he's like, "This fucker said it was Tuesday." So they tell him like, "Yeah, we're going across like the wasteland because the Germans have retreated." And Leslie's like laughing. He's like, "I just lost like three men like 2 days ago. They're still there. Like, no." And they're like, "Well, we're going. We have to, you know, warn these people that the Germans are planning a trap for them." So he's like, "Okay, like follow me." And da da da. He's like, "Only place out is this spot right here." And he's like telling them like, you know, how to get across, basically.
Yeah, he's
And
like, go to the left of the dead horses. And if you see a guy hunched over, climb through the fence at that location and watch out for the craters because they're a hell of a lot deeper than you think they are.
yeah, he says like if we go at nighttime, like it's pretty easy to find where we're going because we just smell that we follow the stench of the dead horses. But what did you think of the way that this movie was filmed?
I'm gonna spoil my rating at the end. I think this movie is a fucking masterpiece, every aspect of it. To answer your direct question, I think it was brilliant how they fucking filmed this movie.
Yeah.
It was made to look like one continuous shot throughout the
Yeah.
entire movie. It wasn't, obviously, but they stitched together the pieces that they filmed so perfectly that it looks like it's just you're following these two guys in a day in the life of a fucking World War I soldier, right? Like from fucking 1 o'clock in the afternoon to like 8 o'clock the next morning kind of thing. Like it's just so well shot. Cinematography was phenomenal.
Yeah, it looked great. And like you said, I like that feel of it, just feels like one continuous shot.
And like it's so fucking crazy because they actually dug these trenches out for this movie. It was like
No,
50,
really.
it was like, what was it? 5,200 feet of
Jeez.
trenches. It's a mile long of trenches.
That's crazy.
And they dug it out just for this movie.
Yeah.
Like, wild, man.
That's crazy. So yeah, you see them get across the wasteland, and you know, at one point Schofield like grabs fucking barbed wire and cuts his hand, and yeah, so they finally do get across. They get to the German front line. There's no one there, but they do kick over like a little bucket of embers, and you know, Blake says they were just here like not too long ago. There's a bunch of like paths that are like kind of blown up and blocked, so the only way down is underground, which I think that the Germans did that on purpose, obviously. Because they get down there and they're trying to find their way, and there's like all these bunk beds, and like they're like shocked or like these guys built this themselves. Like this, there's like tons of bunk beds, and Scofield sees like a picture of like a family on one of the bunk beds, and it kind of, it shows that like there's both sides to the war. Whether, there's a good guy and a bad guy, there are still people fighting for what they believe in, or maybe they have no choice to fight, right? And everyone has family, which we see later on at the farm. Blake maybe makes a decision that he shouldn't have, So yeah, I thought that kind of brought like a nice touch to it.
Yeah, and I read too that like the German trenches were in such better condition, like accurately, because the Germans anticipated that this war was going to go on a hell of a lot longer than it actually did. So like we saw both sides of it, right? Like where the English trenches were just like fucking mud and disgusting. And then you see the German trenches and they're like fucking, it's all like wood platforms and like they're not walking through as much mud and everything's
Yeah.
underground. Like they have these underground bunkers and like this whole system of trenches underground and it's all tunnels and stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy to see the difference.
So they get down, there's like a few ways to go, and they're like looking around, and they see like these bags hung from the planks, and there's all these like buckets of stuff, and one of them is like some like dog food or something. There's like this giant ass rat that's like going across the beams, and they make a joke, and then Scofield looks down and he's like freezes. He's like, "Oh fuck!" And Blake's like, "What?" And Scofield is like, "A tripwire," and he's like, "Where?" And there's a tripwire going across like one of the doorway, and all of a sudden this fucking rat drops from the beam, goes after the bag, and just boom,
Yeah.
blows up fucking tripwire.
It was wild, man.
Yeah.
That really took me by surprise.
Yeah, definitely. So Blake gets blown away. He's okay, but fucking Schofield is like buried beneath like all these stones and bricks, and Blake like gets him out, but like Schofield's eyes are covered in this dust. He's like has tons of dust like in his mouth, just like fucking coughing it up.
Yeah.
And he can't see shit because his eyes are just filled with this dust. So like Blake's like, "Grab the back of me, stay as close as you can." They're like making their way through, this whole place is collapsing. They get to like this like mine shaft, and Blake's like jumps across, and he's like, "We gotta jump across, Schofield," and it's like, "I can't fucking see," and he's just like, "Just fucking jump." So he like jumps over, and obviously,
It was such a like heart pumping scene. Like
yeah.
getting out of there, because like you think this whole thing is just going to collapse down on them, and they get out just in like the nick of time too.
As soon as they get out, they see all of these abandoned artillery or whatever.
Yeah,
And there's
like anti-aircraft cannons is what
was
they
that
looked
the
like.
yeah. And there's just all these empty shells just everywhere, and it's like holy shit. They end up like firing the flare off to tell Leslie that they made it across.
And at this point too, Schofield is kind of like rightfully so, he's kind of pissed at Blake. He's like, why'd you choose me? Like of everybody that was there, you could have chose anybody. He's like, why'd you choose me? And we have this moment where like you understand where Schofield's coming from, but also Schofield is the only person that Blake really has in those
Yeah.
trenches.
And like
And
Blake's, sorry, like Blake said, he had no idea what it was.
yeah, he's like, I thought we were like maybe gonna go get food or something. Like he didn't, obviously he didn't expect to have to go cross country into
Yeah.
enemy territory to
Yeah.
deliver a message.
So they are making their way to Akust. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But they make it to the field, and they're like talking about like medals and stuff, and I love because like Scofield, I think he says he got a medal, and then like Blake is like, "Oh, like awesome, good job, man." And then Scofield's like, "Yeah, I don't even know where it is anymore." And he's like talking it down, like, "Why do I have this piece of metal?" Showing that it maybe did something to help people, and Blake's like, well, there was a piece of fabric on it too, or some
It
joke on it.
wasn't just a piece of tin.
But you can tell they're like totally kind of different people, right?
Blake is almost like all for his country, like fucking rah, rah, rah. And then Schofield's just like, I'm here because I need to be here.
And then, I mean, spoiler, I mean, people have probably seen this before, but Blake dies here in a few minutes, and Sko totally changes. He is like dead set on getting this mission done for Blake. It's not for his country, well, I guess it's for his country a bit, but it's for Blake. And like, there's some scenes where like, he's probably gonna die, and he just fucking goes in with like no gun and just like, it's crazy. Yeah, there's a lot of like kind of like intimate, like close moments. Like they get to like the those trees that are all cut down, the what they're called. But Blake's like telling Sko like, oh yeah, like they'll grow back. There'll be like tons more trees from this, and he's like talking about like his brothers, and Sko's like being getting interested in like kind of learn about his family and stuff like that. So kind of like building a bond as well as they're going through this. So they find an ab abandoned farm. There's a cow there, and Sko ends up drinking some milk, taking some milk, and then all of a sudden you see three planes in the sky. They're looking. You see like two planes going after one plane, and Blake's like, "Who's winning?" And you know, Sko's like, "Oh, we are. There's two against one." And they like kind of walk up, and you see the one plane get shot. It's like goes down. And then it like dips out of camera sight under the hill. And for whatever reason, Sko's like walking towards it. And all of a sudden you see the plane just like come right at them and like crash into the barn. It's crazy. I mean, there's not much action in this movie really, but you know, the few scenes we do get, I think, are done well.
And the plane catches on fire, and it's a German soldier in the cockpit, and they managed to pull him out, and Schofield says we should put him out of his misery. And then Blake just seems to like, I don't know, he's very compassionate and like sentimental. And he's like, well, no, like we gotta help him, like get him water and we'll try and help him. So when Schofield goes to fill up the water from the well, disgusting ass water, by the way,
There was, yeah.
fucking brown and gross. Anyways, we hear Blake in the background yelling, no.
Yeah.
And then Schofield turns around, and the fucking German soldier had stabbed Blake in the stomach.
Yeah.
So then Schofield shoots him dead.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty fucking sad, man.
It is. It is, 'cause like, man, like I don't know, I couldn't even imagine, like, you know. So Blake's like bleeding out, and he's trying to, Sko was trying to help him. He's like, you gotta put pressure on it. As soon as he does, Blake starts screaming, like, no, don't. Sko's like, come on, get up, we gotta go. And he tries pulling him, and Blake's like yelling, crying, no. And then like he gets down, and Blake like changes. He's like, looks down, he's like, what happened? And it's like, dude, he just got stabbed. What do you mean, what happened?
He's lost so much blood though, like he's becoming delirious. Like,
Oh, you can see him turn pale in like 5 seconds.
yeah, man, it's crazy how they did that.
And then Blake asks him like, am I dying? And so I was like, yeah, you're dying, man.
I like that he didn't lie to him.
No, he didn't.
Like,
And
this is
then
just the fucking tribulations of war, right? Like, it's gonna happen.
and then Blake like points to his kind of side, and he takes out this kind of paper, and I think it's a picture of his brother, maybe.
It was a picture of his family, like his parents and
Oh,
his
okay.
brother, yeah.
Yeah. And then he, you know, says, will you write to my mother for me and, you know, give these to my brother or whatever? And, you know, Blake ends up dying. But then some more soldiers show up. I first thought that was just two more soldiers, but nope, it was a whole,
Whole fucking fleet.
little fleet, yeah. And you know, they just leave Blake, you know,
They kind
does
of
it
like
get
rest him up against a building and just
Yeah.
kind of like put him in a comfortable pose, I
I
guess.
mean,
I don't
yeah, I
know.
guess. But Sko's like sitting with him, and the one general's like, okay, we're going to Ikkyus, we're passing through Ikkyus, so we can take you at least part way. So Sko's like, okay, yeah, and then Sko's just sitting there, like, doesn't want to leave Blake, right? He lost a friend. And then like the general's like, that's an order, son, and like it's like that's still war. There's still, you know, like you can't even have a minute to grieve or do anything, right? It's crazy. So he gets on the, I forget what they called it, the one of the vans, trucks, and he's in the back, and everyone's like kind of like has a camaraderie going, but Sko is like very not sad, but like intent on something, and they're all kind of like joking, but he's like, you know, not in the mood really, right? The truck ends up getting stuck in some mud, and immediately Sko gets off, and he's like, "Come on, let's go up. I gotta fucking go. I don't have time." And everyone's like, "Okay," like he's like, "Get off the fucking bus," and they're like, "Okay, calm down, man. Like, geez," and
Yeah,
he's
a couple
like,
of them are like, "Who the fuck are you?"
"Yeah," and he's just like, "Push," and there's like two other ones that are helping him push. Everyone's just sitting around smoking. They can't get it out, and then he's just like, I gotta fucking get somewhere. So everyone's like, all right, come on. They push and finally get out. And he's like, come on, get on the fucking truck. And then like everyone's like kind of quiet, joking. And then they're like, what do you want to rush for? Tells him I gotta bring an important message to the Devons, because the Germans set a trap. And they're like, how many soldiers are in this, the Devons? He's like 16,000, and then they kind of like realize the grasp of the situation, right? But then had to stop again because the Germans destroyed one of the bridges getting to Ikkyus. So who played, who was this guy? Was it Miller? Was it Miller? Maybe Mark Strong,
Captain Smith.
Captain Smith. He goes up to, you know, Sko, and he's like, it's gonna be a few hours, you gotta go around. And he's like, I don't have time, sir. And he's like, okay, you know, shakes his hand. And before he leaves, Sko is like, whenever you get to Erenmore, make sure that you have witnesses.
Mackenzie.
Oh, Mackenzie, sorry. And Sko is like, well, what do you mean? And he just says, some people just
Like a fight.
like the thrill of war, yeah, like to have a fight. So it's like, Jesus. He's like, okay, thank you, sir. And then goes off, and fucking there's a bridge down. He's like trying to crawl across it, gets across, and all of a sudden fucking gun fires,
Man, this is fucking intense.
and he's like fucking making his way up the bridge as these gun fires. Luckily it's just one guy in the
Yeah.
tower. But he gets down and like kind of has a standoff with this guy. He ends up shooting up in the window a few times, making his way up, and then he gets to the top of the tower. The door's kind of closed. As soon as he opens it, just fucking bang, gets shot in the head. Well, I don't know if it was like in the head, but
Yeah, I don't know where he got shot.
the back in the head, maybe, because the girl, the French girl's like looking at his wound a bit.
I think that's because he fell down the stairs.
Oh,
Like, he wouldn't have
maybe.
got shot in the back of the head. The guy was looking straight
Yeah.
at him.
Yeah.
Maybe he did get shot in the head, but he had his helmet on, right? So,
Yeah.
because he gets knocked out.
So did Sko hit him? Is that why he was down, you think?
I don't know if he hit him,
Or he
because
was already.
I like the way that Schofield like went into this building too, because like there's a couple, he fires off a couple shots while he's still hiding like in this, I don't know, valley sort of thing. And then finally he's just like, fuck this. And he's hyping himself up. Like he's like breathing
Yeah.
and he fucking hypes himself up and he hops over the ledge and he's just fucking continuously firing shots so the guy can't poke his head back up
Yeah.
and then makes his way in. So I don't know if he did hit him or if the guy was just kind of waiting there,
Yeah.
but Schofield did kill him whenever he opened the door as well.
Did he? Okay. It kind of happened very quickly, so I wasn't sure.
Well, I
Yeah.
assumed he did because you would think that the guy would
Yeah, but yeah,
come
it's
in.
fair. Yeah. So Sko is in this kind of town that's basically just rubble now. There's not much left to it. It's nighttime now when he wakes up. There's like all these flares and fucking fireballs going off, and
Yeah.
I don't think he has a gun at this point. I think he lost his gun. But he's making his way through. He ends up in this kind of basement where a French lady is hiding out. And she has a baby there. She's like kind of fixing his wound, and they kind of like talk a bit, and she tells him that she doesn't know whose baby this is. It's not her baby. And he has like a little bit of milk left, and he ends up giving the milk to the mom, which I thought was fucking awesome.
And like this scene, like you mentioned earlier that there's intimate scenes between Blake and Schofield, but this scene too, because like this is just an innocent child, right? That it's you can assume its parents are dead. And this woman could have left this baby and just fled on her own, but took it with her.
The Germans don't give a fuck. Like, as the one trucks and stuff are going through, there's all these dead cows, and they're like, one guy says like, "Fucking Germans! Like, why kill the cows?" And the one like Arab guy, Indian guy, says like, "They have more bullets or extra bullets or whatever." And then he says like, "If they don't kill them, then like the Americans will have food to eat, right, or whatever, right?" I forget what he says exactly, but
Yeah, like it's basically
and
that,
there's like
right?
at one point when they get to the farm, you see like a dead dog just lying there. So like the Germans will fucking kill anything. So he is leaving, and this is one of my favorite scenes in the movie as well. I thought this was a really well shot scene. Clearly, like, maybe on set, maybe a bit, like it kind of like looked like it was built, but it's nighttime, he's making his way through. So all these flares going off, like it gets dark and then it gets light, and there's like gunshots going. He's like running away, ends up in this kind of building, and there's a German like taking a piss, and he ends up grabbing the kid by the mouth, and like he doesn't want to kill this kid, right? But the kid is trying to yell and scream for his fucking drunk buddy over there. So Sko takes him to the ground and has his hand over his mouth, ends up choking him too. And the drunk guy like comes over, and Sko just fucking runs by him and bumps into him and just runs. And I like the way this scene was filmed too. Yeah, like just basic, but like I don't know, I liked it.
It was another one of those like heart pumping moments. Because he's running and he's got a guy fucking chasing after him, shooting a gun and like just missing him as he's running down all these like alleyways, basically, is what they are. It's just, yeah, it's fucking intense, man.
Oh, and the French lady said to get to the next town or to get to the forest, he has to follow the river. So he ends up running away. He jumps off a bridge into the water. And like the little things in this movie too, like he's in the water. He grabs on a log, he's like float down the river, and it's like very calm. And then you see the blossoms falling in the water, and he just like grabs one, and it was the same kind of blossoms that Blake was telling him about how they grew all these and stuff. So kind of like a really sad scene as well. But so he ends up making it to the forest and making his way through, and hears some music. It's a man singing. And he gets up, and there's all of these British soldiers sitting around listening to this guy sing. And Sko just sits down. No one sees him and puts his head up and looks like he's fucking dead. He just soaked, and he's just sitting there listening to this music. And I love this scene as well, how it was just filmed in very calm and kind of a break from the chaos.
Like he just looks so defeated at this point. And then like I love the mute, like the guy stops singing and then someone says, "All right, guys, like it's time to go," kind of thing. 'Cause this is the morning of this attack, right? So all these guys are getting ready to go. And like someone turns around, they're like, "Who's this guy?" And he's just like leaning up against the tree, and they're like, I don't know, never seen him before, but he's like fucking
Not one of
soaking
ours.
wet. He's not one of ours, but he's soaking wet. And then Schofield like starts mumbling. He's like, I need to find the Devons. I need to find the Devons. And they're like, who? And he's like, I need to find the Devons. And they're like, well, we're the Devons. And he's like, oh fuck. Finally like snaps out of it and like kind of comes to. And he's like asking everybody, trying to find where Colonel Mackenzie is. And this scene is so chaotic, man. Him trying to find him.
And he's like, oh, they're like, oh, we're the second wave or the third or fourth wave. And he's like, oh fuck, I gotta go. So he's go down to this trench. And he's like running through with all these fucking stones and shit's already happening. They're not going over yet, but fucking bombs are going off and he's making his way through and there's like fucking bombs going off and dead people and he gets up like one guy. Where's Mackenzie? He's like, down that way. Run a bit. Get out of the way. Gets the one guy who's like fucking like shaking. He's scared. Doesn't know anything. So he's like, okay, fucking going down. Gets the one guy. And he's like, oh, Mackenzie is down there. And he's like, I gotta stop him or whatever. And he's like, well, we're the second wave. There's already been a wave that's gone over or something like that. And then he's like, no, like, you gotta stop this attack. And the guy told him, like, basically, fuck off. And then he, like, has a fucking ways to go. And so the guy's like, okay, 30 seconds when we go over. And, like, Sko's just, like, sitting there, like, defeated. And he, like, looks up at, like, the kind of trench going up. And he's, like, looking over. He's like, okay, I know.
During this whole scene, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. During this whole scene, the Germans are attacking at this point. Like, there's fucking artillery shells hitting these trenches.
So they're about to go over. Then Sko goes over. I think this is one of the best scenes in film scenes that I've seen in any movie. Like, I'm not even like joking. I could watch this scene for 2 hours.
Man, I had chills watching this scene.
It is so fucking good. And like, you really only get one chance to film this scene to make it look like that. It's amazing.
I don't know. Yeah, there's no other way to describe it. It's fucking incredible. Like, we have the camera focused on Schofield, and like the camera's in front of him, so we get a full visual of his face and like everything that's happening behind him. And then periodically, stuff that's happening in front of him. He climbs out of this trench and he's running down the field alongside the trench because he can get there faster that way. And you just see hundreds of fucking soldiers coming up out of this trench and getting ready to run across this battlefield. And there's fucking explosions going off. And he's running into guys that are coming out of the trench, which, by the way, the 2 times he ran into people, unscripted.
Really?
And there was a big rule on this production, and Mendez said, do not stop filming no matter what happens. We'll work with it and we'll just like just keep rolling. So he ran into these 2 soldiers and it looked so authentic and real because it fucking was like completely accidental.
And Sko wasn't even looking to the left or right.
No.
He was on a fucking mission. He's just looking forward, like fucking Forrest Gump, just going through. Yeah, man. That scene is so good.
So good.
But then he ends up fighting Mackenzie. And they aren't letting him in at first, but he fucking fights. He's like, got a fucking ladder for Mackenzie. I'm going in, fucking fights his way in. And then there's like a bunch of like people around this table, and he's like, Mackenzie, I got a letter for you, and turns around and this fucking or guy for 2 minutes. And he's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Lieutenant Corporal, whatever, from the 8th or something like that. And he's like, the 8th. He's like, what are you doing way over here? It's like, I got a letter, like, don't stop the attack. And obviously Mackenzie is not listening, and he's like, the Germans laid a trap, all this stuff. But I don't think he stops it, right?
Yeah, he does.
Does he stop? Okay.
Yeah, he finally convinces him to read the letter.
Yeah.
And then he tells his, I don't know, general or whoever.
Yeah.
He's like, go out there and tell them to cease what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, at this point, half of them have already gone over the fucking wall, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But so I don't know if they called all those guys back.
Yeah.
But you can hear the guy outside of the bunker yelling at everybody to stop what they're
Yeah.
doing.
And then Mackenzie says, like, well, there's a fucking far way to come by herself. And he says, oh, I wasn't alone. There was a Blake with me. And he just says, I don't actually, he's not talking to Mackenzie at this point. I think Mackenzie tells him, like, fuck off, basically.
Yeah.
But he's talking to someone else and he's like, a Blake. Do you know a Blake? And he's like, oh, Blake's probably up in the, I don't know, the tents or whatever, like the medical tents. So he goes up there and there's a guy kind of telling people where to go, and he says, are you Blake? And they kind of have a scene, and he's like, says, like, I'm in the eighth, and he's like, who came a far away? And he always says, my brother was in the eighth, did you know him? And he kind of hands the brother his little trinkets, and it's so different. Like, if this war was happening, like, I'm not trying to be funny, but like, if this war was happening, like, in these times, I think it would have been a totally different, like, reply from Blake's brother, because he doesn't cry. He doesn't make any emotion. He just tells Sko, you look hungry, go to the tent to get some food. No hug or embrace, just a handshake, and that's it.
You can tell he's fucking upset.
Yeah, but he's trying very hard to keep it in, right?
And Schofield tells him, like, your brother was a good man. He was always telling jokes all the time. He saved my life and shit like that. And then Blake was like, well, I'm glad you were with him then.
Yeah. And then before he goes, Sko asked him, like, hey, do you mind? Can I write your mother a letter? And he's like, yeah, of course. And yeah.
He says, can I write your mother a letter to let her know he wasn't alone? And it's just like, oh, my
Yeah.
fucking heart, man.
Yeah. And then Sko ends up at a tree by himself and leans up against it, and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else?
Not necessarily with the movie. So Sam Mendes based this movie loosely off of his grandfather,
Yeah.
who entered World War I at 17 years old in 1916, and he was tasked as being a messenger boy. He was 5 foot 4 inches tall,
Yeah.
short as fuck, and it was winter time, so there was a lot of winter mist, and
Yeah.
he'd be able to hide in the mist. And yeah, he wrote a book. It's called The Autobiography of Alfred H. Mendez. I think that'd be such an interesting read, because like these runners were legit. Like, this is an actual thing that they had to do back then,
Yeah.
and it's fucking crazy to me, like how terrifying that would be, just running to deliver fucking messages, because that was their form of communication.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Cool. All right. Well, that's the way the lieutenant corporals run.
All right. You got to explain your rating to me, man.
I just noticed that I made a mistake when I logged it.
Okay. All
I didn't mean
right.
to put a three, I meant to put a four.
Okay. Because, like, as we're talking, I'm like, he sounds like he fucking loves this movie.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
No, I know why you said that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of all over the place with this movie. I believe when I first watched it, I think I would have gave it like maybe a three or three and a half. And then when I rewatched it for the second time in 2022, I gave it a five star.
Okay.
And then this time I gave it a four star.
Okay.
I think there's other war movies that I think I like more than this one. So I don't know. Maybe I'm, but definitely like a four and a half,
All right.
So Quality?
Oh, we're
Or
not doing
not your
quality.
God,
No.
sorry. Oh, I forgot what podcast we're on. Sorry, having so much fun, okay? I give it a 4 out of 5. This is my third time watching it, like I said. I just think it is a quality wise, this is like near perfect movie. Story, I mean, for a war movie, it's not so much about the wars, more about the story, which, is different than a lot of other war movies. I think the acting was fucking fantastic in this, even though like our two main stars are not A-list, even B-list actors. Like, they're not nobodies, but the A-listers are just one-off cameos that they have. I thought the way this was filmed was fucking amazing. The music, the score, it really is one of the best war movies ever made. That one scene that we talked about, when I watch that, like, I just get the chill. Like, there isn't many movies that actually legit give me goosebumps. And my eyes are just locked on watching this guy just fucking run towards you. And it's like, so good. So, yeah, you get a 4 to 5.
Okay. It's going to be long-winded. Just
Okay, all right.
buckle up. I gave it a 5 out of 5. I said, I truly think this is a cinematic masterpiece. From the sound design to the score to the cinematography, all the technical aspects of this movie were perfection. I think Chavin and McKay were amazing and sold their characters really well. The story is exciting, thrilling, gut-wrenching, and as true as a story can get without following an actual specific event. I feel it was paced perfectly and the runtime was right where it needed to be. If this was any longer, it may have started to overstay its welcome because there were some scenes that were a little more tame and it was just like, okay, if they dragged on too long, it was gonna get borderline boring. But I think Mendez's direction of this was just fucking phenomenal. And even these scenes, they were tame, but they were needed to build this story more. I think this movie is absolutely brilliant, and I honestly am kicking myself for taking this long to watch it. Like, this movie's fucking 6 years old at this point. But yeah, man, I don't know. This, I think it's unreal. And it's a story in a war movie that we've never seen before. Like, normally the war movies that we see, it's like frontline battles and shit like that, right? But this is it, it's a different take on it, and it's stuff that actually happened during perfect movie. Yeah. I really want to watch the I might borrow Alan's copy because he has it on physical. I might get it myself, but I wanna watch it again with the commentary.
Yeah, I have it on 4K as well. It's
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. You guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes, see what they scored. So the critics' consensus, hard-hitting, immersive, and an impressive technical achievement, 1917 captures the trench warfare of World War I with raw, startling immediacy. Based on that, what do you think the critics scored?
forget how this. I don't think this won Best Picture. I'll say 94.
88.
Not really close, but yeah.
That's on 473 reviews and an average score of 8.3 out of 10. And the audience gave it an 89% on 25,000 ratings and an average score of 4.4 out of 5. It didn't win Best Picture, but it was nominated. It won three other Oscars, though, all for sound design and cinema. Actually, I think the editing. One for editing as
That makes sense.
well. All right. Normally, this would be the time where we talk about the stunts, but we've both kind of agreed to opt out of it for this movie because it just doesn't feel right to say stunts that we would want to try and favorite stunts. It just, I don't know. For a movie like this, it just doesn't feel right. But I will say, the action that we do see in this movie, it seems very fucking realistic. And I think it kind of captured the throes of war really well. All right. Let's wrap this up. What are we picking, or what are you picking for our next watch?
So I just made a change. I did have a movie pick, but I'm going to switch off it. Pick a movie that I wanted to pick for a while that I haven't seen in a very, very long time. Would probably be a first watch for me, honestly. And we are going to be talking about 2000s Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes. Not gonna lie, man, I almost picked this for my last movie.
Nice.
Yeah. That's fucking great. Awesome. Yeah, I haven't seen this since it came out.
Yeah. The only thing I remember is people flying through trees. That's literally it.
Yeah. I remember when I watched it the first time, I was, well, fuck, like I was like 11. And I was like, this is fucking stupid. Like, how are these people just flying? But I'm excited to rewatch it because I haven't watched it since. Good pick. All right. Yeah. In the meantime, you guys can catch that podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. If you want to check out our backlog of episodes, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening to this one. And this is, I think, my first 5-star movie of this podcast. Happy I picked it.
Maybe.
Might be. I can't remember.
Fury Road.
You're right. My second 5-star.
Cool.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.